The morning light over Manshia is soft and hazy, and the street below my flat is already humming with a different kind of energy. It's Friday, which in Alexandria means the weekend has officially begun. Families are heading to the Corniche with beach bags. The smell of fried fish drifts up from the alleys, and the cafes are filling with the clatter of backgammon pieces and the hiss of the hour. I've been here for 8 days now, and I'm starting to understand the rhythm of this city. It's not like Cairo's frantic pulse. It's slower, saltier, and it gets under your skin in a way I didn't expect. I decide to start the day at a small Palestinian coffee shop I discovered last week, tucked away on a side street near the old Manshia bookshops. The owner, a quiet man from Gaza who's been in Alexandria for over 20 years, remembers my order. A strong, cardamom-scented coffee and a plate of mamel dates. The coffee costs about 30 pounds, which is less than a dollar, and it comes with a side of sea air through the open door. I sit by the window, watching the city wake up. A man on a bicycle delivers fresh bread. A woman in a bright headscarf argues with a fruit vendor over the price of peaches, and a group of teenagers in football shirts loiter outside a phone shop, laughing at something on their screens. This is the Alexandria I've come to love. Not the one in the guidebooks, with its Roman ruins and grand libraries, but this one, the one that lives and breathes and argues over the price of peaches. It's also the Alexandria that's changing. The tram tracks on the main road are being ripped up for the light rail upgrade, and everyone I talk to has an opinion about it. Some miss the old yellow carriages. Others are excited for something new. Last night, I heard a man in a cafe say, "The city is always becoming something else. We just have to keep up." After my coffee, I walk towards the Corniche. The sea is a flat, glittering sheet of gray-blue, and the air is thick with humidity. It's about 30 degrees, but it feels hotter, and the sun is already high. I pass by a beach club near Stanley, where the entrance fee is around 200 pounds, and the sand is packed with families. Towels are spread out in colorful patches, children are building sandcastles, and the lifeguards are blowing their whistles at anyone who dares to swim past the buoys. This is the summer ritual of Alexandria, and it's both chaotic and comforting. I keep walking, past the vendors selling roasted corn and fresh mango juice, past the men fishing off the rocks with long poles, past a group of women in elegant abayas taking photos in front of the Stanley Bridge. I stop at a small stall to buy a bottle of water, which costs about 10 pounds, and the vendor, an old man with a gold tooth, asks me where I'm from. When I say I'm living here, he grins. "Welcome to Alexandria," he says. "The sea is a good landlord." I've been thinking about that phrase all week. The sea is a good landlord. It's cheap to live here, compared to Cairo. My one-bedroom flat in Manshia costs about 5,000 pounds a month, which is roughly $110. That would get you a shoebox in downtown Cairo. And the food is even cheaper. A plate of koshari from a street stall costs about 30 pounds, and a tamia sandwich is less than 20. Last night, I had a whole grilled fish with rice and salad at a restaurant in Bari for about 150 pounds. That's about $3. You can eat like a king here if you know where to look. The practical side of settling in is slowly falling into place, too. Last week, I opened a bank account at CIB, the Commercial International Bank, which was surprisingly painless. You just need your passport, a valid visa, and a proof of address, which the landlord was happy to provide. I also swapped my tourist eSIM for a local prepaid SIM from Orange, which cost about 50 pounds for a month of data. The tram might be gone, but the buses and microbuses are running along the same routes, and a ride costs about 3 pounds. It's a bit of a hassle to pay in cash every time, but it's manageable. This afternoon, I've got tickets for the Bibliotheca Alexandrina's summer festival. The Tanura Whirling Dervishes are performing on the plaza at sunset, and I've heard it's a sight to see. The festival has been running all month, with concerts, films, and theater, and the energy around the library is infectious. I grab a quick lunch at a cafe near the library called Cato, which has the best cold brew in the city, and a sandwich that costs about 80 pounds. The place is full of students and artists, and the hum of conversation is a welcome backdrop to the sea breeze. I walk to the library early to see if I can get a seat on the steps facing the plaza. The Bibliotheca is a marvel of modern architecture, a huge glass and granite disc that seems to tilt towards the sea. It's a reminder of what this city once was, the home of the greatest library in the ancient world, and what it can be again. The plaza is already filling up, and I find a spot on the warm stone, watching the sun begin to dip towards the horizon. A few minutes later, the dervishes appear, spinning in their white skirts, their hands raised in prayer. The music is hypnotic, and the crowd is silent, caught in the moment. I stay for the whole performance, and as the sun sets and the lights of the corniche begin to flicker on, I feel a sense of peace I haven't felt in weeks. This journey has been about so much more than just travel. It's been about finding a place to call home, even if it's temporary. Alexandria has given me that in its own salty, unhurried way. Later, as I walk back towards Manchia, I pass by the Cape Bay Citadel, silhouetted against the purple sky. It's a 15-minute walk from the library, and the sea breeze is cool on my skin. I think about the autumn journey I'm planning, heading south to the western desert oases for the date harvest. That's still a few weeks away, and I'm not ready to leave Alexandria yet. I want to enjoy the last days of summer, the last beach trips, the last late-night cafe sessions. I want to feel the city's rhythm a little longer. I stop at a tiny shop near the mosque of Abu al-Abbas al-Mursi to buy a glass of fresh sugarcane juice. It costs about 15 pounds, and the vendor squeezes the canes right in front of me, the sweet green liquid filling the glass. I drink it slowly, standing by the side of the road, watching the evening crowds. A group of women in hijabs are laughing over a plate of hawashi, and a young couple is sharing a bucket of popcorn. The city is alive, and it's beautiful. Tomorrow, I'm thinking of taking a day trip west to El Alamein. There are clean beaches out there, and I've heard the World War II museums are kind of sobering. It's about a two-hour drive, and I can book an Uber or join a minibus from the Sidi Gaber station. The fare should be around 300 pounds each way, which is reasonable. I'll have to check the exact schedule at the station, but it's on my list for the week. But for now, I'm content to sit here, on a plastic chair outside a juice shop, listening to the call to prayer echo across the rooftops. This is the Alexandria I'll remember, not the one in the postcards, but the one that lives in the everyday details. The taste of cardamom coffee, the smell of sea salt and fried fish, the sound of backgammon pieces on a wooden board, the feeling of the sun on my shoulders as I walk the corniche. It's a good city, and I'm grateful for it. Everything I've mentioned, from the bank to the coffee shop to the festival tickets, is in the episode notes with a few practical details. I'll be here for 2 more days, and then it's off to Cairo for the Citadel Festival. But for now, I'm going to enjoy the last of the evening, and maybe another glass of sugarcane juice. Shukran, Alexandria. Until tomorrow. I finish the juice and toss the cup in a bin. The streets are getting quieter now, the families heading home, the beachgoers retreating to their flats. I take one last look at the sea, dark and endless, and I feel a strange sense of belonging. The sea is a good landlord, indeed. I walk back to my flat, a 10-minute stroll through the narrow streets of Manchia. The gold market is boarded up for the night, and the cafes are dimming their lights. I unlock the heavy wooden door, climb the creaking stairs, and open the window of my room. The sounds of the city drift in, a distant car horn, a dog bark, the murmur of a late-night conversation from the balcony next door. I'm home, in a way. This is the end of the day, and the beginning of what comes next.